Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. You're listening to Fire on the Earth, and we're celebrating this week with the rest of the church worldwide the octave of Christmas, the season of celebrating the astounding reality of the fact that the creator of the universe took on human flesh. He came to us. He condescended. He came to save us. And it's the greatest story ever. It's the beginning of the greatest story ever, really. And you might say, even taking a step back, it all began in the heart of a loving father who loved us so much that he sent his son to us. And we want to celebrate some of the key things in this season so that we can together enter into the graces that are present here in the octave of Christmas. And we have with us this week Anthony Fiola. Anthony is the director of adult discipleship at Christ the King Parish in my hometown. And he's been on the program before. We began yesterday, Anthony sharing in some his amazing testimony on how God had led him back to the Catholic Church and engaged him with a call to mission. And he married a wonderful woman named Anna. And together they've got quite an amazing life. And they have five beautiful children who really, really love the Lord. So, and Anthony's a good teacher, which is why I want to invite him to be with us. So welcome back, Anthony.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Yeah. So let's just move where you feel we ought to go. How about that?
Okay.
All right.
Good. I want to take a moment first and just focus in on John chapter 1. And maybe if, you know, you're out there, you're listening, just quiet your heart and listen to these words again, like you've never heard them before. Because in my mind, they never grow old. They're so beautiful. In John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Skipping down to verse 9. The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. He was in the world. The world was made through him. Yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And we have beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten Son from the Father. In verse 16, and from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. So why did the Word become flesh? Before we talk about St. Stephen, here's how I would say it. The Word became flesh that we might become one flesh and one spirit with him. You could say it this way. The Word became flesh that we, body and soul, would be fully united with God through Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17, he's talking about a lot of things there, about the body being the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he says this one statement in the midst of it: he who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. This is the purpose of the incarnation. This is the purpose of the birth of Jesus. And if, as the scripture said in John 1, if you receive him and you believe in his name, he gives you power to become a child of God that can now say yes to the will of God, to the plan of God. And ultimately, his will is, it's holiness. It's being perfected in his love. And as his child, we truly partake of his divine nature. Because of the incarnation, we can partake. We are partakers of the divine nature, as the scripture says. And as John says, from his fullness, we receive grace upon grace. And grace is more than a Band-Aid that just covers up, makes us feel better about ourselves. Mm-hmm. Grace is the power of God that completely transform our lives. As Titus 2:11-14 talk about, for the grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all men. You can say, that's Christmas. The grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all men. For what purpose? Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live sober, upright, godly lives in this world as we await our blessed hope in the appearing of our Lord, which is what we focus on in Advent, right? We focus in on the first coming and the second coming. But the grace of God teaches us to say no to sin, to say yes to the Lord, to transform us. Grace changes us. It gives us power to live holy and to become like Jesus. The birth of Jesus, the incarnation, it opened up heaven for us. As St. Irenaeus says, Christ opened heaven for us in the manhood he assumed. So Jesus has made it possible for God's will to be done in us on earth as it is in heaven. And what is heaven? Heaven is to be with Christ. Heaven is to live in Christ. Heaven is to conform to Christ. One of my favorite verses is Romans 8:29, where it talks about how we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And St. Stephen, whose feast we celebrate the day after Christmas, is an example of a person who has fully surrendered and entered into this open heaven, the reality of this open heaven. As a result, his life fully conforms to Jesus.
Had a chance to just reflect on that day, the 26th, St. Stephen's life, Anthony, and I'm always just both grateful seeing the wisdom of the church. We celebrate, it can be stark to go from the incarnation, yes, and the baby in the manger and the beautiful, gentle, wonderful Our Lady and the Holy Family and the little animals and all of that stuff. And the very next day, yeah, boom, the martyrdom of St. Stephen.
Yes.
And the church is saying, pay attention.
Yes, amen.
When the king landed, you know, that child, to bring about the salvation as you're describing it, he also came to do battle, and he came to die.
Yes.
To lay down his life to bring about the victory, mm-hmm, of the kingdom. And that the church is saying, now look at Stephen. Here's the cost,
yes,
of discipleship,
yes,
kind of, right?
Yeah.
And here's what it means. Get it clear in your head.
Yeah.
It means everything. You give everything.
Yeah.
And you may end up dying for it as a witness, which in the craziness of the kingdom, it's the most glorious thing you could probably have and live could do is to become a martyr,
yeah,
a witness to the end, a faithful suffering witness.
Yeah, but, conforming to, yeah, Jesus to, yeah, the end, all, yeah, the way. But we don't always like to think about that. But the church, in her wisdom, has also given us an octave where we can really pray and think about this. What does it mean to fully follow Jesus? What might that mean for my life? And Stephen is an example of that.
Yeah.
And you just do an analysis of his life, which we can do if we have a little bit of time here. You see, he really did. It's an example of a man who gave himself so fully to the Lord that he literally conformed to him in his suffering, his death, and resurrection. You see it. If you just think about it, let me read just a few scriptures here out of Acts chapter 6, which are scriptures from the feast day. This is right after Stephen has been ordained one of the deacons in the church, and it goes right to his arrest. And it says in Acts chapter 6:8, and Stephen, full of grace and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Well, who does that sound like, you know? Jesus, we just read, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And we know that Jesus did great wonders and signs throughout his whole life for the people. If you keep on going, all of a sudden the persecution begins from the religious leaders. They begin to dispute with Stephen. Well, who does that sound like? You know, Jesus. The religious leaders often tested, argued, disputed, persecuted Jesus in this kind of way, tested him all the time. But this is what it says about Stephen next in Acts 6:10. They could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke.
In that moment, it makes me think, Anthony, when Jesus said, now, you're going to be dragged before, you know, leaders and governors and all this, and don't worry about what you're going to say. Like,
yeah,
you don't have to practice it ahead of time.
Yeah, it's, there's a really real grace.
Yeah, there's grace. I will give you, the Spirit will give you what you need to say because you're so surrendered in the moment as a witness.
Yeah.
You're under the grace of the Holy Spirit, and there's some truth that not only the offering of your life, but the words the Lord wants you to speak, he's going to inspire you to speak.
Yeah.
If you're united with him.
Yeah, you're your soul, your body, your vocal cords.
Yeah.
Everything come into this union with the Lord, and the Spirit of God can flow through you.
Yeah.
When you have conformed to Jesus in this kind of a way. And if you keep on following the whole story, it gets even more explicit. The religious leaders secretly, this is what it says, instigated men who said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." They stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council and set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law." I mean, who does that sound like? What does that sound like? Yeah. I mean, this is almost identical to what happened to Jesus in his agony, his arrest, his suffering just before he was crucified. So Stephen in this moment is conforming to the sufferings of Jesus. And he was in union with the incarnate Lord in such a beautiful way. And the next verse describes this. This is just beautiful. This is what the people see. In Acts 6:15, gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. I mean, this is the glory of God on a man who is in union with God. And then he conforms to Christ in the preaching of the gospel. If you read Acts chapter 7, which I encourage everybody to do, he summarizes all of salvation history in a very powerful way. And then he concludes that sermon by prophetically talking like his Lord. He looks at the guys that are there with him. He says, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered." And then he completely conforms to Christ in his death. Because right after he says this to them, enraged, grinding their teeth, crying with a loud voice, stopping their ears, they stone him to death.
It's amazing, yeah.
And if we listen carefully, and maybe we can do this just a little bit in the next next episode, if we listen carefully to Stephen, in this moment as the stones are raining down upon him, we'll see the purpose of the incarnation of the Son of God, the purpose of the whole mystery of Christmas as heaven opens up.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. As you're talking, I was reminded of a priest book I read, forgot the exact title of it right off the top of my head, but I do remember some key truths from it. He's talking about being the destiny of a disciple ultimately is to be a witness. We're all witnesses. You shall be my witnesses, Jesus said, you know, as he sends you out, we're all, as his disciples, he said, but at the heart of it is Christianity is to become the alchemy of the kingdom, he said, is to give courageous, faithful witness to the truth of the gospel, to the words and the works of Jesus in an unbelieving and increasingly hostile world. Mm. And we conquer not through violence afflicted, but through violence suffered for the sake of the gospel. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, exactly. Well, friends, I hope you can join us again tomorrow and have your friends join us. Anthony's going to be here with us again. We're going to continue to take a deep dive into the octave of Christmas, but have a blessed day and walk as a faithful witness to Jesus. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.